This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We are live in Kennesaw. Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate you. And making, you know, connection, man, with all of our listeners. A lot of guys coming out here saying, hey, man. And we appreciate each and every one of you. Guy just came in, Mike, telling us Total Wine right up here around the corner, right. Literally limiting our fans to just one six-pack
per customer. There is a run on our beer. We have created the demand, and we are trying to meet with the supply. This is pretty amazing, guys. We're really excited and appreciate you guys trying our brew, whether it's here on tap at places like Twin Peaks and many bars and restaurants around Metro Atlanta, all over the state now. And now we got our beer selling like hotcakes. How about that, Carl? It's kind of like, you know, what you see when there's a flood or something, like, get the milk, get the water, hoard the hay man. So we do appreciate you guys trying our brew and making it one of the hottest selling microbrews. Or, I mean, heck, we may, you know what? They may have to expand the brewery and get more Lilliputians.
I think so.
Oompa Loompas working there.
I think so.
Nothing to do with Gulliver's Travels. It's Oompa Loompas make the
they
beer.
May have to expand. So, guys, thanks again. Hey, before we get to On the Sidelines with the Dogs, Mike, real quick, if you're just joining us, guy just hit me up, Michael, on the Twitter, and he says, Dukes, what is up with Free? What kind of bruise is this on his knee? He's missing now again. Now, remember, the initial report was, what, 3 to 4 weeks?
Right. Now, whether that came from the Falcons, we don't know, but Adam Schefter, a pretty reliable guy and gets reliable sources when he breaks stories, he had it as 3 weeks for Devontae Freeman. So, as we said, there's basically two schools of thought. It's a legitimate knee injury. The knee never healed properly at the end of the year. He's re-injured it, or he's further exacerbated whatever happened, which made him ineffective against the Eagles. Or they want to try Tevin Coleman to kick the tires on that, and it's some kind of smoke screen. I don't think that's the case. I don't think Dan Quinn would pull that. You're paying this guy $8 million to be, I mean, for what? You got to get him out there.
Yeah,
I don't buy that.
I don't think that's the case. Again, this is all speculation on our half. We cannot speak, at least I can't, to what this injury is.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. They're not the first team that would slow roll injury information. Everybody does it. Patriots are the best at it.
No, I don't disagree with that. I just think that the initial report with, oh, well, he'll be out this week, to 3 to 4 weeks from Adam Schefter, to he's day-to-day.
Well, Dan Quinn called the Adam Schefter report erroneous.
That's right.
Well, here it is week two, and if it's three, he's accurate.
All right, so with that said, we know no Free on Sunday. We also just found out about 30 minutes ago, no Tack McKinley. Now, I'm not going to go on a tantrum here, but I got to tell you guys, and I said this before the season started, if you listen every day, this is a step-up year for Vic Beasley, bro. We got to get more from Vic.
Right.
And so I'm not saying the onus is solely on him this weekend, but we shouldn't be this concerned about Tack being out if Vic was doing his job.
Well, if we get 13.5 sack Vic, or are we going to get the other Vic? Now, I know that they've used him in strange ways, and I thought Dan Quinn was going to stop with that. He's going to be a hand in the dirt, defensive end, edge rusher. You know, at the end of the game, when Cam Newton is trying to connect with DJ Moore, if you go back and watch the video, Vic Beasley's in the center of the offensive line. I don't know what's going on. I mean, does Vic have a plan? We've talked so much about Vic Beasley with Chuck Smith, who makes a lot of money as a pass rush consultant. He works with pros, works with guys getting ready for the combine. And, you know, we've talked about it. Is he big enough to do the bull rush? He doesn't have that size. He's a big guy. Don't get it twisted. But is it all about speed with him? And if he's doing that spin move, these good defensive tackles or offensive tackles tend to, you know, ballet his butt outside the hash marks.
Now, late in the game, and as Bo just pointed out to me, and it is a fair assessment, late in the game last week against Cam Newton, Cam hurt us early with his legs. He was what we consider to be or called a late spy. I'm rushing. Now I'm pulling out, and I'm going to see what Cam is doing. And that's why it seemed like he was, you know, in no man's land. And guys were asking us, what's Vic doing against Carolina? And if you watch the last couple of series, that's kind of what his role was. Now, I just said, you know, Mike, I want to see him hand in the dirt. Let's go get the quarterback. And I know they've got him doing a multitude of things. But I also think that takes away from his production. You know, I do. So we'll see where this goes as far as Sunday. I know it's hard to get the breeze. But at the end of the day, we just need more from Vic Beasley.
Right. Now, again, guys, also don't forget Deidre Sinnott and Grady Jarrett, as Bo Morgan, our producer, has been pointing out all week, to really be effective against Drew Brees, that push coming up the middle. You know, because remember, you guys have all seen Drew Brees doing that head thing where he's looking over the offensive line. So if you can get in the middle and get him off the spot, hopefully somebody can finish him off. Now, Dan Quinn says he's confident. I asked him on Wednesday about Steven Means, right? We picked up from the Eagles, a free agent. And he thinks it means it can be effective here. You might see Means, Brooks Reed, and Vic Beasley. Again, guys, we're just tuning in. No Tack McKinley and no Derek Shelby, right? That's good. Is Derek Shelby out?
Derek is out.
Yeah, so that's it.
All right. More in our Falcon Report coming up at 5 as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks. Let's go on the sidelines with the dogs. It's always brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com. If you guys want a man cave, if you want to create this kind of vibe, servers sold separately. You got to go to BrightBox, guys, 770-901-2500, or go to BrightBox Electrical and get that ultimate man cave, home security or home monitoring, brother. It's a great deal.
All right, let's talk about this Mizzou game, and then we're going to get into some other college football. We've been saying all week, it's Friday now. Mike, the conclusion is high-scoring game. I still have the dogs winning this game. But, you know, Drew Lock is very good. And if you're going into this weekend, you know, thinking, well, yeah, but he hasn't played the dogs. Drew Lock threw 4 touchdowns last year against them, threw 3 the previous year, lost both of those games. But it's not as if you're going to completely lock him down. And last year was a lot of over-the-top big plays behind the defense. Now, of course, they're watching that film, Mike, and I think they'll be ready. But the idea is you're not going to shut Mizzou out. But Mizzou, I don't think, can stop the dogs either.
I know a lot of guys who said, you guys are harping on that Purdue thing. Maybe Purdue is going to be another great offense in the Big Ten. I don't know. But a quarterback named Bleh threw for 500.
What's his name?
Bleh. 500-some-odd yards against Missouri defense last week. So you figure Jake Fromm, all the playmakers on wide receiver, McCole Hardman and Godwin, and, you know, Robinson makes some plays. Also the running backs. So many weapons. So it's an earlier start, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Georgia's going to win this in the neighborhood of like a 42-28.
Okay.
I'll concede 4 touchdowns to Mizzou's offense if Georgia's pass rush is, you know, is it a thing? That's been the great debate this week. Haven't really seen them put the heat on the quarterback. Kirby said he needed more out of his pass rush after the South Carolina game on Jake Bentley.
Yeah, I just think with the level of competition, I thought the numbers might be a little bit more with the sacks. They're not. Okay, we'll see what they do against Missouri, because Missouri is going to throw the ball a lot, and they'll have opportunities to get to Drew Lock. Whether they do or not, we will wait to see. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, on the sidelines with the dogs. Hey, by the way, Alabama and their quarterback situation, and Mike, we said yesterday, I think Georgia's handled this perfectly. We've talked to a variety of people who agree with us in the sense that Coach Dooley said, listen, the games have kind of dictated that you play Justin Fields.
Right.
We may get to some games now where he may not see as much time, but when you look at the numbers, Fromm has been very good. I think he's thrown 1 interception all season. He's completing 80% of his passes. There's no reason not for Fromm to be playing as much as he is, but Alabama has a similar situation, and Nick Saban says they are going to keep playing both quarterbacks.
Yeah, as in Tua starts, gets a big lead, and then let's be honest, then Hurts will come in to finish it off. Look, we've said this all season long, guys, and Coach Saban, when he was on with us at SEC Media Days, he wanted someone to win the job. He didn't say he wanted to have a co-quarterback situation. He wanted a guy to win the job. That's his words. So Tua won the job, and he wants to maintain the, I guess, keeping Hurts engaged, as we said. Because
right.
You don't want this guy to say, and whether his dad is right or wrong, about taking his ball and leaving because he's got 2 more years of eligibility if he's not hitting that 4-game red shirt. So I think they're fine. I think it's a balancing act. And Saban, that's why he gets so ticked off every time a reporter asks about it. Because he doesn't want to disrespect Hurts, but at the same time, he doesn't want to start him either.
Yeah. Alabama, by the way, you know, just slapped Ole Miss. And now everybody thinks, you know, this is how they're going to treat everybody.
They put 60 on the road in Oxford. I mean, against the Landsharks. So, come on, you got to do it with me, Landsharks. But as far as, you know, Texas A&M, to be a 4-touchdown dog in the SEC, I mean, that's in division. I mean, does Jimbo Fisher use that? I mean, it's great if you want to use it as a motivational tool, and they played Clemson great. But does Texas A&M have the horses to go into Tuscaloosa and keep it close? I don't think so.
No, I don't either. And by the way, if you're wondering, Tua, 36 of 50. 646 yards, 6, check that, 8 touchdowns, no picks. He's been almost perfect.
Right.
So
I mean, look, the only reason he didn't start last year is that he didn't trust him for some of the picks he would throw in practice. And again, it's the ball's on Nick Saban. I think we have to remind Georgia fans how it went. But the idea that you haven't started this guy, and that's when you pick in the biggest game of the year at halftime and you roll him out there and the kid responds, what else do you need to see?
What's going to happen at Georgia Tech this weekend, Mike? Clemson
pain,
comes into town.
Humiliation. Suffering.
Clemson is currently number 3. Remember, Georgia jumped them in the AP coaches poll. They're feeling a little bit disrespected. I've been saying all week, where's the D, Georgia Tech, because they have played none.
Well, it's a 3-4 with Nate Woody, and by God, they're going to get a test with Clemson. They got the old throwback uniforms, Carl.
Those are tight.
1990.
Those are tight.
Blue. I mean, if they get smoked by 4 touchdowns, they're going to look good doing it. I mean, look, we've had some fun tongue-in-cheek with Tech fans, although I'm not sure that Tech fans are capable of having fun. But the thing about the program, it's where is it at right now? If the defense, we thought that the 3-4 was going to be a nice way to kind of at least keep them in games, be able to close out opponents. And then, as you said, if you hadn't read some of the columns, Dabo was trying to downplay it. But some of the players talked about the fact that they didn't do anything wrong in beating Georgia Southern. Why should they fall behind Georgia? And if they're going to use that as a rallying cry, so be it. They did practice against the option attack with Southern, so they should be prepared for it. And then, of course, the great debate. If you get down in a game with Georgia Tech, can you come back throwing it? You can't.
Last time Georgia Tech won in this matchup, 2014. You guys remember what happened in that game? A guy named Deshaun Watson blew out his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last time they beat them. So, and you know what Deshaun Watson went on to do.
Right.
With that said, I think this is going to be a rout. I don't think Georgia Tech, you know, traditionally, Mike, if the D was playing up to par, I would tell you Georgia Tech could sit on a lead, move the ball, right, run clock. They can't.
Well, that's just it. I mean, in a perfect world, that's how much you miss Kervante Benson. They've got some issues on the offensive line as far as injuries. Because look, everybody knows it. Like, as a Florida State fan, I've seen it happen. You know, every possession, you've got to get points because Georgia Tech's going to eat up clock at 6 or 7 minutes per drive. But I just don't know if this team is capable of doing that against Clemson. Man, I don't know if I'm going to touch. I might, you know, you kind of convinced me to take Clemson in this game as a road favorite.
Well, here's the deal. Last week, Georgia Southern, you guys know they run the ball. They only gained 80 yards on the ground. Georgia Tech is going to try to run the football against Clemson up front. And I've told you guys, they got potentially 3 first-round draft picks
right
on that front 4. Last week, they gave up 80 on the ground. I don't think Georgia Tech's going to be able to dominate. They had potentially 2 offensive linemen that are out,
right,
that are questionable for this game.
Be a lot of Clemson fans here, too, by the way. Unfortunately, you know, for Georgia Tech, we've talked about, you know, when their fans, when they tune out, those tickets go on StubHub. And they've already tuned out, so it's going to be a lot of orange in the stands, brother.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell again on the sidelines with the Dogs. We talk college football each and every day, brought to you by BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical Mon, 770-901-2500 for man caves, home security, home monitoring. And don't forget, guys, generators, and you need one, too, if you saw what happened in the Carolinas last couple of days. Call them up today, 770-901-2500.
Real quick, Ohio State Buckeyes defensive end Nick Bosa. Name sounds familiar,
yeah,
right?
Joey's brother.
Had surgery Thursday to fix a core muscle injury. There's no timetable for his return. We know Ohio State's loaded outside of all the Urban Meyer stuff that's been going on all year. But Nick Bosa has been a big part of what they hope to do, and that's get back to plan for a national championship. Mm-hmm. But he's out, Mike, for an unlimited time. No timetable on his return after that victory against TCU, 40-28, where they took over in the second half.
Also, guys, Florida and Tennessee. We were talking about this in studio the other day. Y'all remember when this was like the biggest game of the year in the SEC, or one of the biggest games? I'm just saying, man.
Well, who are you talking about?
Steve Spurrier, Philip Fulmer.
Who are you talking about?
We got a little Gator fan over here. But anyways,
I'm going to go get a snack.
You know, look, we're not talking about Florida State. We might not win a game in the ACC. We're talking about you going to Rocky Top. So here's the deal. All right, first off, can Jeremy Pruitt, I don't call it a signature win, but it'd be a hell of a win to beat Florida. They're a dog up home at Neyland.
Listen, I think both of these fan bases, I know both of these fan bases are looking for something to hang their hat on. Florida thinks Dan Mullen's the next big thing, right? And he could be.
Right.
But if Tennessee beats Florida, right, for all the people who question the hire with Pruitt and they needed some toughness, they needed a guy like Pruitt to come in and cut out all the nonsense that was going on with Butch. Butch was the wrong hire. Tennessee fans can admit that now. He was not the right guy. So if you
and they weren't going to let Shiano get jammed down their throat. They said hell no to that.
So if you beat Florida, even though Florida's down, you as a Tennessee fan, as a Vol fan, you're going, okay, we might be on the right track here. So you're absolutely right. I don't want to say signature win, but you feel a lot better about where the program's headed.
Well, for folks that are watching the game, Florida's got some cool duds. Of course, they went to the Nike Jumpman, the Air Jordan, you know, the Jordan logo for this year. Blue britches,
Jumpman,
white jersey with the orange lid. So that's what Florida's going to be rocking as they head up to old Neyland Stadium. It's football time in Tennessee.
It's 44.5 over-under. You think they hit that number? 44.5?
Jesus. I don't know, man.
Tennessee plus four.
You spot both these teams the ball at the 20, it might not get in there. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
44 and a half. I don't know if I touched that. Hey, guys, and one other news note as we talk college football. We mentioned this, and you know, with all the games going on this weekend, Nebraska, Michigan, all the talk about Harbaugh, right?
Right.
What if
Nebraska upsets Michigan?
What if?
Oofa. Oofa. Well, Nebraska has looked terrible. I mean, they their defense went to shambles in the second half against Colorado. They got beat by Troy. So, I mean, I know that Nebraska people, they wanted the prodigal son to return. He has. It's going to take a minute. Well, again, second time we'll use the Brian Billick quote. You don't get jobs because teams are good. You get jobs because the teams are sucky. So it's going to take Frost a minute to put his game plan in there if they're going to ever sort of look like what the UCF was.
Guys, coming up, we'll talk about the magic number. It's four. Braves back in action tonight. By the weekend, the end of this weekend, we could be talking about something really special here in the ATL. We'll get into that conversation.
And the number right now is five. That's where Tiger started at East Lake. He is even par today. He was down a few strokes early, but unfortunately gave those back. So we'll see what happens here. But all the usual suspects are kicking butt at East Lake today. We'll tell you about that, too.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, man, we're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. I'll give a couple of shout-outs to some loyal listeners. Chris and his lovely lady just rolled in. He's listening all day long in his vehicle. Also, guys, have a nice round of applause for a thankless, tough job behind cops and firemen. Being a high school referee, Carl, is a thankless job.
He cheated my team last week.
Give it up for Larry. He's got a game tonight. We won't say where, but I think it's cool he downs a fifth of Southern Comfort before he gets on the field and slaps on that whistle. No, he's getting some takeout as he's going to carb up before his game tonight. But high school refereeing, oh, man, is that tough work.
It is, and we were just talking, and again, you know, we're not going to specifically tell you where he is going to be because a lot of high school officials, it's a tough job, man.
Right.
It's intense. You guys know how big Georgia high school football is. These coaches are going after these guys.
Yeah.
But he was just saying on the field some of the players sometimes and the things they say. And, you know, you got to kind of put them in check. But,
right.
Guys, we got some of the best high school football in the country, right?
Right.
We see that
well,
every
that's
week.
The thing. I mean, not every kid is, you know, everybody's individual is different. But sometimes you got some of these 4- and 5-star kids who think they should be getting calls like they're the pros, you know, in some of these high school games. But, again, thanks, Larry, coming out. And real quick, while we were mentioning it, the micro wrestling guys are here. They got the micro wrestling going on over at the Electric Cowboy, the old Cowboys up on Cobb Parkway. Dudes, they're carving up before they get ready to kick the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love micro-violence? I know I do.
Well, he came over, and he said, I'm the heel. So, just to let me know. I was like,
nice.
Okay, I now understand. So, thank you guys for coming out. But, yes, man, if you got nothing to do or you're hanging out tonight, go check these guys out. It's
I really – is little people the correct nomenclature? Is am I supposed – little people? Okay, I know what – I mean, I don't want to get these guys.
Mike, don't get beat up.
No, because if the eight guys attack me, I'm going to go down.
I'm not helping
it's
you,
like
Mike.
It's going to be like damn Gulliver's
don't
Travels,
get beat up.
Man. You guys going to be piling on me.
Don't get beat up.
Those dudes ready to whip some butt tonight. You know what? Hey, what if we give these guys $10 each to take on Squid Billy? Oh, I'd love to see that. Squid Billy, you were like three of the guys. What do you say, man?
All right, man. Hey,
people
coming up.
Like in the parking lot. Anyway, I'm just thinking out loud, Carl. Back to you.
We've got our Falcon Report coming up in five. We always have this discussion, though. Small people, little people, midgets.
I
just want to be proper.
Right.
Just want to be proper.
Right.
All right.
Because they will kick our butts, right?
Steve Coonan's going to join us, guys, in about 20 minutes. Hawk CEO, we'll get Steve on and talk about a variety of things. One of the big stories yesterday we were talking about at the end of the show, one of the NBA stars, Jimmy Butler, wanting out of Minnesota. And, you know, we're a franchise that's trying to attract free agents.
Imagine Jimmy Butler down here?
Oh, come on. We're trying to attract guys to come play. And so we'll talk to Steve about that because, you know, the whole premise for what's been going on with our Hawks, real quickly before we get back into some Braves conversation, you know, you build a new practice facility, you redo the arena, you know, basically start from scratch. You got a new team with a lot of young talent. But the whole idea is that talent blossoms. And all of a sudden, you become attractive enough that some of the free agents, not next year, but maybe the next 2 or 3 years,
right,
start to want to come and join and be a part of this. That's what this is all about. So, you know, when you hear Jimmy Butler say, I want to go to L.A. or one of these other teams, that's all about what those teams have to offer and what the city has to offer.
Well, the dude basically played on one leg. He came back early from an injury, got Minnesota in the playoffs. Thibodeau wears everybody out. You know, that's the thing. I mean, and nobody – I mean, Derrick Rose's career, I don't know if it has to do with how Thibodeau worked him in the gym. But,
well, you know – you ever hear Thibodeau? Yeah.
He's like an Ogeron.
He is. He really
but,
is.
But anyway, Butler did say he wants out, and Minnesota says it's going to cost you through the nose if you want to get him. They're not going to just trade him for nothing. So there you go.
All right, guys. Braves-Phillies tonight. It's game two. If you missed it last night, Braves win 8-3. They are in reach of their first NL East title in 5 years. And I say in reach – It's not dreaming anymore. You are basically four games away. The magic number is four. That's wins and losses, combination of wins and losses for the Braves. But since you're playing the Phillies,
right,
these games even mean more, Mike, because as we said, before the weekend ends, if you're able to win two of three, you're going to make it almost impossible right. for the Phillies to you know have a chance to win this division.
So, guys, it's Julio Teheran. What Julio Teheran are we going to get?
Oh, here we
Remember
go.
Remember now, Newcomb, they moved some starts up. So, Newcomb, they're basically going to skip a Sean Newcomb start, which is the last thing you want to hear about a guy you were, you know, early in the season. Him and Fulte are the aces of the staff, you know, if you want to go by wins, losses. But wherever his head is at, hopefully he gets it straight. The good news is if you do wrap things up against the Phillies this week, you can start to rest some of your bullpen. You can let the youngsters from Gwinnett get the starts and then be ready to go. Now, it projects right now, we'd probably get the Dodgers, you know, if the Cubbies do win out. And that's Clayton Kershaw. But, again, he's also susceptible. He's had good moments and bad moments in his postseason.
I agree. We've been saying this and kind of preaching it, and I know it may be hard for Braves fans. You get in the dance, anything can happen. All right? And again, it's not like one game, you know, is going to win or lose the series.
Right.
I like our chances against everybody. Now, I know we didn't necessarily play well against the Cubs. I tweeted out that night I was at the Cubs game. We could be watching the NLCS, and people laughed at it, but it's true. But, Mike, you know, Milwaukee doesn't scare me. The Cubs don't necessarily scare me. I get it. You know,
and they've got their own soap opera going on.
Absolutely.
So players dealing with some issues off the field we'll talk about
there's
later.
There's not a dominant team. The Rockies don't scare me. You're not.
Well, the Rockies do scare me.
They don't scare me.
No, they came in here and whipped our butts.
They did. But remember, here's the thing about that. And I think at that point in the season, if you go back and look at what was going on with the Braves, that was one of those deals where the Braves are still, I believe, still trying to find themselves in a moment where here comes a good team and let's see how we do. And they got spanked. I think one of the biggest tests for this team this year is when the Red Sox came in, you blow that game.
You and I were
at
the game where Fulte blew it, where Minter blew the save.
Yeah, but blow that Red Sox game and you go on the road and you beat a very good D-backs team who was in the hunt at that point.
Yeah,
that was a huge series.
Out of six on that road trip? Is that what it is?
Yes. So I think that they're going to be fine if you play Milwaukee, the Cubs, but it's all going to get back to the pitching.
All right, tonight, as we said, hopefully good Julio, fingers crossed. 9-8 on the season going up against Nick Pivetta, who's been a pinata. He is 7-13 on the season, so let's hope that, again, Freddie Freeman keeps that home run thing going. That's nice to see him starting to get the big fly. And certainly last night, even though he didn't get a hit, he knocked it in RBI with a sack. It was Acuna, and we'll get the lineup to you in just a bit.
Bo tweeted this to me, and I'm just sharing it. I retweeted it. If you guys want to go check it out, and put him up, see Dukes. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at the show is at Dukes and Bell 929. Of course, follow the radio station 929, and like us on Facebook if you've not done so. There's an article by Mark Bowman talking about Acuna, and you guys know I'm Acuna crazy because I just think, you know, when I've seen special and covering baseball for over a decade, and I saw this in Acuna, didn't know if he'd live up to it, but he has. But, Mike, the article talks about Snicker seeing his batting stance early on when they brought him in and brought him up and saying, this isn't going to work. And Kevin Seitzer, who's the hitting coach, basically had to get with him, and they changed some slight things, and it's been a huge difference in Acuna getting hits in his production thus far this season. And Bowman talks to both of those guys about that. One little slight thing basically changed the entire season for Acuna, who was already really good.
Great to hear, man. Good stuff. By the way, guys, Acuna again leading off tonight. Inciarte again is going to bat second. So Albie's in the seventh spot, according to Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. Gabe Kapler is one of those managers who likes to bat the pitcher eighth. Kind of do that thing. So Tibet is going to bat eighth, and Quinn bats ninth for the Phillies. But again, see what they can do, brother. The magic number is faux.
Faux.
And it might be the Nationals who wind up in second place in this division at the end of the day.
You say good Julio, bad Julio tonight. And we're not talking about Julio Jones. We're talking about Julio Teheran.
I don't know. I mean, dude, it's like...
Look at the bar. Look at the bar.
Right now, it's like, it's kind of like that scene in Gladiator. Thumbs down. All right. How about this? Let's do another unscientific poll here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. You guys think the Braves should give Snicker a contract extension?
Thank you. Of course.
Again, mixed reaction at best.
Who's the manager of the year, guys?
It could be Snicker.
It's Brian Snicker.
Don't get sentimental
it
on
is.
Me.
He's I'm gonna, not. I'm just telling you
what he does in the playoffs.
I shouldn't have to wait to the playoffs. It's what you do in the regular season.
Yeah, but you're measured by the playoffs.
Well, he may be, but you've got to get to the playoffs by winning in the regular season.
Mush, I want to see what this guy can do. Showing a blank check out there.
All right.
You know who I want? I want to see Ron Washington get the game.
Well, listen, Ron's going to be here. I think they put together a really good staff, but to dismiss what Snicker's been able to do is, I think, a little bit unfair. And I just think for what they've done, and if they achieve the goal, which is winning the division for the first time in 5 years, you gotta give it to him.
Right on. I tell you this, man. I am distracted as hell today.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because the servers keep walking back and forth, and it's, like, distracting.
What do you mean?
Well, you know what I mean.
No, explain.
The thingies. Let me spell it out for you. The breastesses, okay? There's a lot of ample supply out here today at Twin Peaks and Kennesaw.
Well, it's the lovely outfits that they're wearing.
And by the way, if you guys haven't been, we're right here off Barrett Parkway. Just get off of 75. Come by and have some fun. The beer is 27.
They're going to come by now after you say
that. I'm just telling you. I mean, there's some really hot chicks here. I mean, newsflash, hello. I mean, it's a great staff. We always have a good time at the Buckhead location. How about Squid Billy? You hear Squid Billy working his rap earlier?
I did not.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of like the power behind the throne. I'm like the brains operation over here. That's what I do.
The power behind the throne.
That's what I heard. That was his rap talking to one of the bartenders.
Is that a Game of Thrones reference?
Squid Billy's not giving me the look. He's giving me the Manson lamps. Okay, we'll change tact. All right, guys, a couple of things with the Braves you just mentioned. This weekend, how about a great weekend to be in the ATL?
It's awesome.
SunTrust, obviously, this weekend. United's back at home. Saturday night, the roof is going to be open at Mercedes-Benz. And then, of course, the Falcons-Saints, one of the great rivalries in the NFL. And, oh, by the way, you got Tiger Woods in the mix at Eastlake, and the conditions have been absolutely perfect. And, by the way, hats off to the guys at the greens. We had heard some rumors, remember, earlier in the summer that the greens were burned out and there was all sorts of, like, diseases and funguses and stuff that were – well, they've said, and the pros have said themselves, that the greens are immaculate. It's the best greens they've played on all year on the PGA Tour.
I know, and I think we met a couple of guys out there that are, you know, they service the golf course, but they were telling us something. They were changing out a lot of the turf.
Right.
But I don't know about the greens, Mike. I didn't know if they changed those out or not. Either way, it looks amazing.
Looks great. It looks like a video game on TV today.
So, and that's what we want. And remember, next year, and this is a story, you know, for down the road, but the PGA is changing all of these dates for the majors. These tournaments are being moved up. Dick Sullivan was in studio with us the other day. He's head of the PGA Superstores, and he was saying that this particular tournament is going to be played before we start football next year.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah, I mean, they're moving up everything. Remember, the majors get moved up. The PGA comes earlier next year, which everybody's doing it, and that's the idea of let's not compete with the monster that is the NFL, and obviously here in the South, to a lesser extent, college football. When is NASCAR going to get with the program?
Who?
Talladega. Isn't Talladega this weekend, Squid? It's in October. I'm saying, so what's the race this weekend? Exactly. Yeah, you had to look. But anyway, the point is...
They're in Richmond this week.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's like it's background noise. And the playoffs start now. This is the last race.
Everything's background noise of football.
I mean, it's just in the case of NASCAR specifically, though, where's the interest, brother?
Coming
exactly.
Up, Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO. And also, you guys remember KZ's hit on Cam Newton last week. Well, wide receiver Torrey Smith was fined $10,000 for unnecessary roughness in retaliation against DeMonte KZ after his hit on Newton. Ian Rappaport reporting that. We'll talk to Steve Coonan coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
You got some winners, by the way, for the picks?
Done.
I got one last night with Cleveland, Joe. Steve next.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Coonan from Kumho Tire. Better always on Dukes and Bell.
You know, when you're a president or a CEO like Steve Coonan, Mike, you know, you get the best tickets in town. I'm sure Steve will be, you know, going to whatever he wants to this weekend. All this stuff going on in Atlanta. I'm sure he'll have front row seats at Eastlake.
Steve, you're going to be inside the ropes, big guy? What's the story there?
Well, first of all, my fat behind will be on a sofa watching my beloved dog. So, nice. Eastlake will...
Are you sweating this one, by the way?
Yep. No. Who said yeah?
So, I mean, we were expecting kind of a high score. Actually, you could argue we could see a high-scoring game with the Falcons and the Saints and maybe with Mizzou, although it's tough to envision Missouri getting some stops against Georgia.
Yeah, I think that I do feel very good about that. You're always nervous when your team goes on the road, but I think we have an extraordinary defense, and I think we have a very good offense. And I did watch Missouri-Purdue last Saturday night and saw the Purdue quarterback go for over 600 yards. So I am hopeful, not overly confident. But more importantly, guys, I'm an outlaw now. I don't want to be known as a CEO. I am breaking the law as we speak. I'm an outlaw.
What? What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
What am I doing? I normally call you from a hard line, but I got stuck behind the Clemson football buses coming into town and the police roadblock. So I'm actually holding my cell phone. So I am literally felon. I am wild. I am on the loose. I am breaking the law publicly.
Well, look, Puffy K, when you get pinched, man, make sure you smile for your mugshot when it shows up in the paper.
You know what, though? Here's the deal. The cops won't see you with that 5% tint on your window, all right? You think you're going to be okay?
I don't think they're going to see me with my three chins blocking the view. So I think I'm going to be fine.
It's our favorite CEO, guys. It's Steve Koonin, the CEO of your Atlanta Hawks, with us here on the WaitFor.com hotline.
Hey, we're talking Falcons coming up at 5 in less than 20 minutes. The latest on the injuries, what's going on with the defense and the pass rush, and also what we found out today from New Orleans. We'll let you in on that coming up at 5. Steve, we've been hearing these rumors over the last 24 hours about Jimmy Butler. Now, I know you being a CEO, you can't specifically talk about players under contract, but I want to ask you about, you know, when you see these kinds of things around the NBA and what's going on with our plan here in Atlanta with, you know, the renovation with the arena, the practice facility, we're going younger. I mean, we're trying to attract these kinds of players when guys, you know, want out of their contracts or certainly want to be traded. And that's the ultimate goal. So when I see, you know, things like this with Jimmy Butler, I wonder what you're thinking when you see it.
Well, I think there is a new player democracy. I don't think 3 years ago you ever heard players saying, I'd like to be traded. I'd like to go somewhere else. And it happening. I mean, Carmelo did it with Denver. He was kind of the first one. And Kyrie did it last year. And now it's kind of become commonplace. So I can't comment on anybody in particular for obvious reasons that you described. But I do think this player democracy and location matters. And it's a very new phenomenon that we're trying to all wrap our head around. When a player comes out and he doesn't talk about a team or an organization, he talks about a geography.
Right. Well, one thing for certain, I mean, we're hoping that with Trae Young and the condition, you know, continuing to build around it, that guys are going to want to be here. You know, and that's always been the knock, you know, for whatever reason, trying to get guys to come here. You know, and whether the old joke goes, well, they've got their girlfriends here in Atlanta. that's the case. But we've got a viable product in one of the coolest cities, so why wouldn't we be able to attract free agents?
Well, we absolutely believe we could. And when you hear us talking about flexibility, that's certainly what we're talking about. We believe both the significant upgrade in our facilities, the attractiveness of our city, but the most important thing that attracts players is other players. And that, I think you nailed it. I think that having players, having somebody like Trae Young, who is going to be an incredible facilitator, having players that players want to play with is this number one goal in recruiting players to come here. And again, I can't talk about the case that you cited, but that's a little bit more geography than playing with other players. So I would say that we're going to be in good shape on both counts, which is, again, very, very new.
Steve Koonin is with us, guys, CEO of the Hawks. It's brought to you by Kumho Tires. He joins us every week right about this time. All right, this is something I want to get your take on, this because Carl and I were losing our minds. Squidbilly Bo Morgan brought it up to our attention that there is this top 100 players that I guess was ESPN produced, and they had Luka Doncic, who hasn't played a minute in the NBA, in the top 100. Now, I mean, I would think the leading scorer and leading assist man in college basketball might, you know, warrant some merit for that as well. And obviously Trae Young was nowhere to be found.
Well, you know, the thing about the NBA is it's one of the great soap operas of our time. Dallas Dynasty, Falcon Crest used to be the soap operas in the 90s, and the NBA has certainly, and Twitter's helped that. I mean, to me, that's clickbait. How can you crown a player one of the top who's never stepped on the court? And, you know, but it creates conversation. I think ever since Secretariat was one of the top 100 athletes of the 20th century, that people have seen there's gold and there's readership with making these lists. But, you know, I've seen about 5 of them so far, and I just kind of laugh when I see, you know, who's on it and then understand the reason why. And controversy sells. There's no doubt that ESPN's, you know, game is our opener, Dallas with Luka versus Atlanta with Trae. And the sad part is somebody's going to proclaim a winner and a loser from a sample size of one. But that's the world we live in today.
It's Steve Conan joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Falcon Talk coming up at 5. Also, the big story, we'll talk with Dave Archer and get his thoughts about this weekend's matchup at Mercedes-Benz. One of the other big stories this week, and listen, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about what happened with the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban agreeing to basically pay $10 million. If you guys are not familiar with the story, you can go read about it. But Adam Silver comes out, Steve, and says, to all teams in the NBA, hire more women, especially in leadership and supervisor or positions, urging them to take on the mandates that the Mavericks must now adhere to. And I ask this question because I know you are in the forefront of diversity and obviously trying to improve what the Hawks are doing, but this has been a big story, and a lot of people looking at the NBA going, is this going on in a lot of other places?
Well, I'm very, very, very proud to answer this question. And of our 10 most senior executives, 50% are women and 50% are people of color. This has been the number one priority for me. When I got to the Atlanta Hawks, there was not one female vice president. Today, there is 7, including Michelle Lefwich, who is the number 2 on basketball operations, and our chief marketing officer, Melissa Proctor, is the first African-American female CMO in the league, and Nzinga Shaw, who has led our diversity and inclusion efforts, and on and on and on. We are in very good shape here because not only is diversity part of our DNA, it's very good business. And women are a big part of our attendance, and if you only have the same point of view, you're never, ever going to be able to be successful. So having divergent points of view, bringing in different voices, and having equality with men and women in your organization in senior jobs is job number one, and it's an area we excel.
Good job, Steve Coonan, our man, CEO of your Atlanta Hawks. Steve Coonan with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. 22% of our audience is female, by the way. We found out the last time we got the numbers. So there you go. Hey, man, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Good luck with the dogs, Steve. We can't wait to see the new State Farm Arena.
Well, come on down next week. We'll put a hard hat on you if you find one big enough.
You know what?
All right, well, I will put this out there. Mike and I, if you've never been to a Hawks game, you know, we are fortunate enough. The Hawks, they ask us to do some stuff on the big screen, and the big screen is going to be even bigger this year for those who don't know.
Right.
So Mike and I are going to be recording some stuff for the Hawks season on Monday at Emory, but we will definitely make plans to try to come down and see you next week and check out the arena.
I would personally love to walk you guys around. I'm super proud of it. We're 29 days away from opening, which scares the blank out of me. But one of the things, and I'll let you go, that I've learned, the word transformation or renovation doesn't really capture. Every square inch of the inside of that building has been changed. And it is radical and it is different. And I guarantee you will both be shocked. And I can't wait to see your faces.
All right, big guy. Well, we'll see you soon, Steve. Thanks again. Have a great weekend. That's our man, Steve Coonan. Brought to you by Kubo Tires. We talk to the man every week. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and we are live. And let's get this crowd rocking and rolling over here. Hey, now. There we go. Drink a beer. You'll feel better, baby. It's Friday. We got ice cold. Coney Brewing. Hey, man, Blondale. 29.5 degrees right now, Carl Dukes.
It is a place where you want to be to get your weekend started, and we appreciate each one, every one of you guys sitting here at the bar and hanging out with us.
By the way, our beer is filled with minerals and vitamins.
It is. It will make you feel a lot better.
These claims not substantiated by the FDA.
Not at all. Coming up, Falcon Report, guys. And we talked to DeMonte KZ early in the week. He told us, hey, I apologize for what happened with Cam. I wasn't trying to hurt him. We also asked KZ, you heard from the NFL? He said, next question.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper is going to want to get his checkbook right about now.
Well, he has heard from the NFL. How much money is he coming out of for that hit on Cam? Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.